Okay, hello and welcome. This is Kirsty Rice from Four Kids, 20 Suitcases and a Beagle with
Sarah Derrick from Lady Sadie's Emporium.
And we also have a business called Blogging Me for bloggers in the Middle East. But today we're going to do our very first podcast, and our podcast is called Too Fat Expats.
And I've just realised I've applied lipstick for a podcast and no one can see me.
So we've called it Too Fat Expats because we kind of think that expat life can be great. It can be as big as you want it to be or as fat as you like it.
Yeah, live a fat life.
Live a fat life. And also because we're a little bit fat.
A little bit.
Just a little bit fat.
Curvaceous.
Curvaceous. And we don't care. I think it's really interesting when you say, I'm a little bit fat, and people say, oh, don't say that. Don't
I can't stand that because I am.
Yeah.
And I have a lot below the counter.
Anyway, what we'd like to do today is make a little podcast kind of, it doesn't have to be solely expat, but we're kind of hoping that if there's anyone out there that's feeling a little bit isolated or a little bit stranded in their new location, that this might be some tips on expat life, but also just general life for anyone who's moving, even if you're doing an internal move or you've moved from one city to another, or just general life and what the stuff that we kind of have on our blogs.
A little bit for everyone.
Yeah. Okay. So it's very, very timely at the moment because you've actually just moved, Sarah. You've done like an internal move.
I'm living it. I'm in the midst of it. I only moved 10 minutes down the road and I'm losing my mind.
So tell me what happened, because just for everyone else's benefit, Sarah's arrived at my house this morning looking a little bit frazzled. The move.
I think my first words, I've just had a psychotic break.
Yes, that was it. That was it. And you've got Sadie, your little girl, in tow because it's school holidays, just to make it a little bit more fun.
Yeah.
So what happened?
Well, being the expat that I am, I thought that I could have expat benefits and pay a team of people to do everything for me so I could for one day live the expat dream, or what everyone thinks is the expat dream, where you just kind of sit back and drink your G&Ts and everyone, swans around you.
Yeah, because that's what it's really like.
Exactly.
Every day.
And that's what I actually thought it was going to be yesterday. And it wasn't.
That's a shock.
Quite possibly the worst move I've ever done in my entire life. And it was literally 10 minutes down the road.
Oh, no. People say that they're the worst moves, like the closer they are.
Yeah, and I thought it was going to be really easy. I thought that last night, if I wanted, I could have hosted a dinner party for 8. Yeah, no, it looks like something has exploded in my house.
Oh, no, no.
And so I had the meltdown to end all meltdowns last night, where my husband actually got quite teary. He didn't know how to handle me. And he was muttering things like, it's too late in the night to call your mother. Who do I call to calm you down? While I'm yelling, Sadie, pack your bags. We're getting on a plane and we're moving back to Australia. With Sadie saying, is Daddy coming? No, this is all Daddy's fault. Daddy is not coming to Australia with us.
Now, how do you come back from something like that? Like, you wake up this morning, I imagine there's absolutely crap everywhere throughout your
house. There is absolute crap everywhere. My husband threw me in the shower to calm me down because he knows that that's what works for me. He is the yin to my yang, or the yang to my yin. So when I'm going off, he is very, very calm. So by the time our heads hit the pillow last night, I had calmed myself down.
Right.
And the first thing he said to me this morning was, how is your love for me on a scale from 1 to 10? Where is it sitting right now? And none of this is his fault.
No.
But it is.
Yeah.
Like, he has just ruined my whole life yesterday, even though he actually left work early to hang curtains. But it is all his fault.
Right.
And I'm just really irrational because I wanted the expat life yesterday and I didn't get it.
No, 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 no. Okay. That's probably why they say that moving is one of the most stressful times.
Yeah, I think it's like number one, isn't it?
Is it moving and is it a wedding or a divorce?
Well, see, I was 3 months up the duff with Sadie at our wedding, so I didn't get nervous at all because we'd done all the bad stuff first.
Yeah, you got all that out
the road. I just rocked up. I think moving is number one.
Yeah, I think moving
even
too.
Over the death of someone. I think moving is number one.
Wow, that's a big call. But let's think about where you are right now.
Yeah,
this process.
True. Yeah. So, ask me next week when my house is looking pretty, and maybe I won't say that.
That's right. Maybe that's something to do with it too. You do like to have a pretty house.
Yes.
That is something that's going to be freaking you out.
I'm a visual person, and visually it was appalling last night and this morning.
So from this experience, I don't want lots of moving tips, but what would be your number one for moving tips? Like, how do you choose a good mover?
Well, we had about 5 or 6 different companies come through the house to give quotes, and we went with the cheapest, so maybe that wasn't the best option. But it costs a lot of money to move. Even to move, you know, 5-10 minutes down the road, you do spend money that you didn't think you would going to spend. So we did go cheap.
Yeah.
I would probably, looking back now, maybe if you can afford it, go sort of a mid-range. Like, we had quotes from 8,000 reals down to 2,500 reals to move down the road.
And for anyone else, how do we explain that? I know in Australia you divide by 3.
Yeah.
So in America, I don't know.
Like 8,000, you're looking at well over $2,000.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
So maybe 2,500.
Yeah.
Compared to, I think we paid just under $1,000. So,
okay.
You know, that is a big difference, spending that money. And I think you need to be there. I wasn't there on the first day.
Right.
My husband told me to leave the house because he knew what I can be like.
Yeah.
I wish I was there now to keep on top of everyone.
I was just thinking, for anyone who's listening at home, they're probably thinking, oh, my gosh, why would you pay someone to do all of this? And maybe we need to explain. In this
everyone's
country,
thinking that I'm an absolute princess at the moment, aren't they?
But in this, here in Doha, we don't have the just go down and get a U-Haul trailer.
I don't know where to
dad
go to get
to
boxes.
Go and, get the boxes, do whatever. That just doesn't happen here. So
you can't move on a weekend because people don't work on a Friday. So
you can't
have
move
to
on
do
a weekend.
It midweek.
And there's also that thing of whenever you need a truck here, people tell you to go and stand at that roundabout and go and talk to the men with the trucks.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, it is. It is. There's a particular roundabout here where there's a bunch of guys that kind of line up with trucks and it's no one can really converse with you and it's a bit difficult.
Yeah.
So it is a bit different here. You
it
do
is. It's
have
different
to
from
use
moving
a company.
Back home.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have used a company that was supposed to pack up everything, and they did. And they were also supposed to unpack everything and put it in its place, which they did not.
They did not, no.
And the manager started his apology email to me this morning with, I understand you're in a bad mood.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, not good.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I've yet to reply to him because I don't want to be rude.
Okay. So number one tip is maybe go the mid-range.
Yeah, mid-range. Yeah. And be there for the move, because you do kind of feel helpless and guilty that you're not helping doing the packing. But I think...
Because
being
you're not allowed to help, are you?
You're not allowed to help.
No, because of insurance,
yes.
Isn't it?
Yeah. So I think just being there and kind of project managing it, I would say, is a really good thing to do. And read the contract really carefully, because when I read the contract this morning, it did actually stipulate that they take things out of the boxes and put them on the benches. They don't put them in the cupboards.
Right, yeah.
And that's where it all fell apart for me yesterday.
Yes.
So read the
contract. Thinking it was all going to...
Yeah.
And they do make it sound like that. They say, oh, yes, we'll move you, we'll pack you all up and we'll put you all in and we'll unpack the boxes. But what that actually means is... we will empty the entire contents of your kitchen onto a bench.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened.
I think our most interesting move was we moved from Libya to Canada, and on top of it, that it took roughly about 9 months for the stuff to get there. That was a little bit
and
of
you didn't
a disaster.
Have IKEA.
No, and we didn't. But this is when we got to Canada. But there had been some sort of mouse situation inside our container for all of that time.
Ooh.
Yep. So when they opened the gate of the container, like cracked open the back of it in our driveway in Canada, mice just literally raced out, like, freedom! They weren't hungry because they'd been eating everything in our container, like all the cardboard and anything else they can find. We didn't obviously have food, but they'd, you know, made their way through cushions and, bedding and all sorts of stuff. But not only did we have to unpack and everything goes on the shelf, but everything had to be washed.
Oh.
Yeah, it was just a nightmare.
Yeah, so, I feel so bad about yesterday then.
Oh, and, of course, everyone was worried there was going to be a rat because Alberta is proudly rat-free. So
right.
We were getting some really nasty looks. Yeah, that, are we those people?
Oh.
Yeah, yes. All right, so we've got through the move. Should we talk about what we did on the weekend more?
Yeah, that was a much better time for me.
Yes, it was, but nervy, I think.
Oh, yeah. And yeah. I probably think, actually, the nerves was then played out yesterday, actually, in my tantrum.
Me too.
I think it might have all been just pent up from the last week that we've been working really hard.
Yeah. So Sarah and I got together last, I don't know, September, and met for coffee. We'd met a few times, but we were really like
casual
friends
acquaintances.
Of friends. Casual acquaintances, yes. That's it. And we met and we both knew that each other blogged. And I had been to Pro Blogger in Australia, which if you are a blogger, I can tell you that's the best blogging event there is to go to. But so I had been to Pro Blogger in Australia and I'd been to Blogfest in London. And I was just kind of desperate to have some sort of blogging, not only just an event here, but at least just a community. Mm-hmm. I just didn't feel that we had that same blogging community here. And you were kind of the same.
I was a new blogger and I just needed help. I felt a little bit lonely and I wasn't sure how to get myself to the next level. And I had been a fan of your blog before I met you. And then we'd met a few times. And then, I just sent that email saying, help, is there anyone here that can...
Yes. Yeah.
Help me be a better blogger.
And from my perspective, I don't know if I've ever told you this because you've told me that before about how you were a bit nervy about sending
absolutely.
Me an email.
Yeah.
But from my perspective, because for ages I'd been thinking about doing something, and then when I got your email, it was like, oh shit, she's going to do something. Like she's
oh, she thought, oh no. No, I wanted you to teach me.
No, I thought, oh, she's going to go and do what I've been hoping to do but haven't got off my bum to do. Because it was a bit of an overwhelming idea to kind of.
And I think looking back, you couldn't have done that. No one
could
have done
way.
That on their
no
own.
One could have done that on their own. No. Anyway, so the plan was we wanted to build some sort of blogging community here in the Middle East where people could get together and share ideas and help each other out. And we wanted to have a networking event, but we didn't want to just, like, say, oh, let's all meet for coffee at, Starbucks on Tuesday at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
We wanted to have a real event and show an organisation what could be done with social media and how exciting it can be and how much traction you can get happening. And so we got together with the beautiful Four Seasons Doha.
Yes.
I mean, it just stunning, stunning, stunning
and
hotel.
And a big hello to Mia, the public relations manager at the Four Seasons. She's our superstar.
She is our superstar. She's our angel,
our Four Seasons angel.
She is. And so we got together with them and we were just so lucky that they had the vision, I think, too, that they could see what
could
happen.
An amazing vision. Like they exceeded all our expectations,
didn't
they?
You know, it's a Four Seasons thing. I had not stayed in a Four Seasons until I went for work in the States. I went to work and I went to a conference in Dallas. And I remember everyone getting all excited, oh, it's at the Four Seasons, and thinking, yeah, five-star hotel, it'll be. But there is something about the Four Seasons, isn't it?
It's very special.
They just go that...
It's an experience.
They take it that extra notch. And they did that for us. So we had our very first Blogging for Beginners conference.
Yes.
And where some people came and they'd never written a word and other people came and they'd had a blog and they'd started a blog but they'd lost their blogging mojo.
Yeah, they need to get their mojo back.
And they wanted to get their mojo back. And it was just fantastic.
It was a really fun day.
But we were so nervous.
Oh, I was crying. Oh, here I am. Okay, everyone, I am not a psycho. But I did cry that morning.
I couldn't eat and my hands were shaking.
Yes, I was
shaking. Sick. And I've done public speaking before, but there was something about this, I think because it was just so much
our baby.
Yeah. And I think when you do it for work as in corporate work, you've got a whole business behind you.
Yes.
But when you're starting something from scratch, it's like, oh, my God, if this is really crappy... this is, we're done.
If it, yeah.
We don't get to do this again.
Yeah.
It was very, very nerve-wracking. I think my favourite thing was your comment when I got there, though, and you were nervy and I was nervy and we were all trying to get the PowerPoint working and everything, you know, in the room right, and then you just said, I'm so nervous, I just know I'm going to mix all my words up and start making up words.
Yeah, that's what I tend to do when I'm really nervous.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to be really intelligent.
Yeah, like and when you're, I'm exhausted.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And as I'm speaking and as the words come out, I'm actually surprised I haven't done it in our first podcast, actually. But as the words come out, sometimes I will say a word, but I've put my own spin on it and I've made up my own word.
Yeah.
And when I said that to my husband the morning of the conference, I said, I'm a little bit nervous, I'm going to make up my own words. He burst into a fit of giggles because he knows that's true.
Yeah. So...
make up my own words.
No, you were amazing. You're amazing.
Beads of sweat dripping down, like I created a pool.
Yes, I think we crossed paths at some stage in between you speaking and me speaking, and you said, I've got sweat running down the back of my head whatever. Yeah. And supposedly we didn't look like we were nervous, which amazes me because I was
shaking. I felt like we'd... Yes. Looked like we had done it before, but no.
So we were very lucky that after we'd done our little workshop that ran for a couple of hours, we then got to see one of those grand suites
at
the Four Seasons. And it was pretty amazing because then we found out that that's where David Beckham had been staying when he was here for the tennis.
And that was only like a week or two ago.
I know. And did you hear that we had an attendee who said, I'm so glad I didn't know that when I was in there because I just would have started licking everything. But, yeah, it was. But it was just so big. It was like a house. It wasn't like a room.
It looked almost like one of those dream New York apartments.
Yeah.
Didn't it? Like you were up high. You had these amazing views. But you didn't feel like you were in a hotel. It felt really homely.
Yeah.
And that baby grand piano in the living room.
Oh, I know. And a kitchen. Yes. And the kitchen had its own
and
door.
And a walk-in wardrobe.
I know. It had everything. It had absolutely everything. And so fascinating to see because it's not somewhere that I'm ever going to have enough money to stay in.
I always stay in those, just the basic standard room.
Standard, yes.
Sometimes I'll treat myself to the grand deluxe, which is just basically two floors up.
Yeah. Pointing in a different direction.
Yeah.
Yes. So we did that and then we went downstairs and we met up with some of Doha's existing bloggers.
Yes.
And so we had 20 of... Well, no, we didn't end up with 20. I think we had 15 of Doha's existing bloggers. But then we had sort of some micro-bloggers as well, some people that just are big on Instagram or big on Facebook. Who is, and it doesn't have to be Doha, who in general do you think is your favourite blogger right now?
I'm quite eclectic when it comes to my blogs, a bit like my music. I love Baby Mac back in Australia because she lives in the same town or around the same area as my parents. So when I read her blog, it kind of makes me feel like I'm back at home with my mum and dad.
Yeah.
And I just love that she's so Australian.
Yes.
Just the words that she uses and things like that, it just makes me feel at home. I'm a huge fan of yours and always was before I met you. Just because, you know, living the expat life and stories about family and stuff. But probably lifestyle-wise, which is what my game is Cupcakes and Cashmere in America. She kind of like the Martha Stewart of lifestyle blogging.
Right.
And she's just, I mean, she now has like three or four people working for her and her own office and she's just about to publish her second book. And
wow. And have you bought her books as well?
Yeah, I've got her first coffee table book.
So she kind of transcends over all of it.
Yeah.
Or transcends, I should say, over all
and
of
she's,
it.
And when she writes her personal story, she talks about her anxiety and how she sometimes feels that she's not good enough and I kind of like that because she's still real.
Yeah.
So even though you can see that she's living this amazing blogging dream, she still has...
Do you think... See, I think that's what makes you love a blogger, like you love their story. I really
absolutely.
I really think you've kind of have to have a story. I'm not you. I also love Baby Mac and... I think, because I did become quite engaged with her story of that whole thing. We've all, not all of us, but many of us have found ourselves newlywed and financially trying to work mm-hmm. out, well, how am I ever going to be able to afford a house yeah. and yeah. how am I going to live where I need to live to work mm-hmm. to where I need to work? And I know Greg and I certainly did, and that's one of the reasons why we ended up overseas, because it was just like, how are we ever going to be able to get a house?
Oh, absolutely. And a mortgage? That's why yeah. we're here.
But also because she's just so genuine and lovely yeah, and it's yeah. pretty. And I'm yes. not good at the pretty blog, as you know. I'm yeah. not good at doing yes, the photos yeah. and making things look lovely on the page. So I just love...
Yeah.
It's the storytelling, I think.
It is. Yeah. Because it is just everyday life that she talks about, but she makes yes. it look so pretty and she has a funny twist on it. And
yeah.
even when things aren't going well for her that day, there's still like a funny yeah. twist to it.
Yeah. yeah. So if people are wondering who we're talking about,
it's babymac.com.
Yeah, is it babymac.com? Yes. Yeah. I mean, I just have it in my bookmarked things. Yeah.
baby-mac.com and okay. Mac is M-A-C.
Right. Okay. Oh, and my computer just made a noise. Okay. That's, should think about that for the next one.
It's our first one.
Okay. So we were talking about blogging and the stories. Do you have, I've been trying to think, do you have a expat blogger, or are they just different sites that you go to?
I go to Blog Lovin',
and right.
So I read all of my blogs like as if it's kind of like a yeah. newspaper.
Yeah.
But then I'm also old school, and I bookmark my blogs. So I have a folder on my laptop, and it lists all the blogs that I read.
Yes.
And I go into my laptop every morning,
yeah.
and I start with my favourites, and then I get to like my B-listers,
yes.
and maybe the people that I read once or twice a month.
Yeah.
And so they're just all saved there. But I do like Blog Lovin'.
Now, one of the things that we asked people at the workshop on the weekend was, what could you never, ever blog about? This was our icebreaker. We said, what could you never, ever blog about? What would you love to blog about? And then we sort of asked them what they hoped to learn yeah. that day. But we didn't ask each other.
No.
What,
you go first.
Oh, I have to go first?
Yes. What would you never blog about?
What I would never, ever blog about, I think, probably, because this is something I haven't ever blogged about, is my husband's family. That much.
You don't write about
I
them.
Don't. I write about my sister-in-laws
yeah.
and my brother-in-laws, but I really don't think I could write about G's parents. They
yeah.
Are incredibly private people, mm-hmm. and I think they would think that was unnecessary
yeah.
to
yeah.
blog about them. And it's just not their bag, so I think I'd just kind of do it with my parents. I'm sure my parents probably don't want me to blog about them that much either, but I know my mum loves me blogging about the kids
yeah.
and kind of forgives me if I blog about her. But, I mean, I've never, ever said anything nasty.
All the stuff about your mum's always
yeah, 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 no, and yeah. I couldn't. You know, I have a fantastic family.
Yeah.
Lovely, lovely, lovely parents. And really there's never going to be any, you know, I can't believe that you did this to
yes.
me when I
yeah.
was five.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's not yeah. going to come. And what I love to blog about, obviously I love to blog about expat stuff and moving, because I think I am very, very conscious of the fact that when I first started, mm-hmm. it was just quite scary in that you do just arrive in a hotel room somewhere
yeah.
or in someone's spare room somewhere or wherever it may be, and you are completely on your own.
Yes.
Until you make that first friend or the first connection or the first whatever, it is just the most brutal thing to do to start
from
scratch.
Yeah. And also to arrive in a country where culturally... Yeah. There I go, I'm making up my own words.
Yeah.
But culturally it's so different.
Yeah. What was your first move?
So I'd lived in London, but that was fine
right.
because, you know, it's
yeah.
London.
Yeah.
So our Not first expat move was to Abu Dhabi with Sadie as a two-month-old.
Yeah.
And we arrived on the 1st of July... It was about 55 degrees.
Oh, my gosh.
And I hadn't seen... It's hard to see.
If you haven't seen this world,
yeah.
what it looks like,
and
absolutely.
How people dress and how yeah. that's portrayed in the Western world.
It's terrible.
It is terrible.
It is absolutely terrible how it's portrayed in the Western world.
It is absolute propaganda back home.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
But that's all I had to go on.
No,
and when I
stepped
out of that airport and I saw all of that, get me on the plane
and
back
you're
home.
Right. It is that because when we lived in Libya, we used to have to fly home through Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think, when I got to Libya, that was culture shock, but yeah, it's not the dress. People are still, you know, jeans, shirts, whatever. And, you know, yes, women may wear a headscarf, they may not. So, but it's, you know, it wasn't intimidating in that way. But there is something in the Middle East, if you've not lived where everyone's wearing a thobe and a buyer or whatever, and I think probably the first time you ever see someone's face completely covered.
The first call to prayer that you hear,
because in the movies
and stuff, that doesn't have good connotations.
No.
So our first call to prayer was, because we arrived at midnight, arrived at the hotel, and I think the first call to prayer was about 4 a.m., and I shut up in my bed. And I said to Matt, oh, something's happening, we've got to go. And he said, no, that's the call to prayer.
Now, do you think you were ill-prepared then, if that
absolutely.
Was the case?
Absolutely. I didn't do my research, though, because I was trusting Matt and what, you know, this was for his career, and I was his brand-new mum, and I was just happy for the adventure.
Yeah,
But I probably didn't research it. As much as what
I love the call to prayer.
Now that's my most favourite thing. And when we leave, it will be one of the things that I miss the most. When it comes on the radio, I don't turn it off.
Right.
I still listen to it.
Yeah.
I really, really love it.
Yeah, I love it. And I especially love it if you are out and about, you know, somewhere incredibly local and the sun's setting and the,
So the feeling that I have now is so far removed from that first initial feeling I had when I heard it. I thought, oh, my goodness, what's happening here?
No, I totally agree. Okay, I think we're probably... I've got no idea how long this has been going for, do you? But I think we should probably stop it.
Yes, I've had fun.
Does it say...
Oh yeah, we've gone for 26 minutes. I didn't know if we were going to be able to talk for 20.
I know.
But we could keep on going.
Okay, so that was episode one of Two Fat Expats.
Yes.
I think what we're meant to do now, Sarah and I really have no idea what we're doing now. We're about to try and upload
that's everything
this.
With us, isn't it?
Everything we do is a bit backwards.
Yeah.
But we work it out and it works out fabulous.
Yeah.
So what we're going to try and do now is get this up onto iTunes. And from listening to other podcasts, I do believe that what they ask you to do is leave a message in the notes or give you a rating or do whatever. I don't know how you do that because I've never done it.
We're going to put the podcast on our webpage.
Yeah, we will do that as well.
Yeah, just go and learn how to do it.
All right, we'll just learn how to do it. But thank you guys for coming
in.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.